This evening I'd like to speak to you from the Old Testament reading for Christmas from Isaiah 9, 2-7. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of the Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So let's pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, you came as a light into this dark world. So shine into our hearts and into this world again this night as we celebrate your birth. In your name and to your glory we pray. Amen. Well, we've had a lot of storms of late, and thankfully we haven't been hit too badly in our parish area. When I was a child, I used to be scared of the storms, because storms often meant power blackouts, and power blackouts meant that our old weatherboard house in Toowoomba would become very dark very quickly. But Mum was always at the ready in the linen cupboard. She always had a candle, and she would light a match, and from that candle, the kitchen would glow, literally. That one small candle would light up this big kitchen, and that gave her enough light to be able to see, to get the heavy artillery out to go into the pantry and get the big blue kerosene lamp and light it. What always amazed me as a child was how when Mum would light that candle when we had power blackouts, and how it just made that big black cavernous kitchen that we had aglow. The theme of light and dark is the central imagery of our text from Isaiah tonight, and so for my Christmas message, I'd like to speak to you on the theme of a light shines in the darkness. So let's begin by asking the question, what darkness was the people of Israel, the hearers of Isaiah's prophecy, actually experiencing? Well, in 720 BCE, the Assyrian army captured Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, and they carried away many Israelites into captivity. The virtual destruction of Israel then left the southern kingdom of Judah to fend for itself among the warring Near Eastern kingdoms. From an Assyrian perspective, the invasion of Israel was part of a much wider military offensive to capture the trade routes which went from through the Syrian desert to the harbours of the Mediterranean Sea. And so the Israelites, at the hands of the Assyrian army, were facing darkness, defeat, destruction of themselves and of their land. Their impending doom also cast doubt over the future of the southern kingdom of Judah. It was a dire situation, and it was not just physical darkness. It was a spiritual, emotional, and mental darkness. It attacked the people of Israel at every angle. Now, while we don't live with this same kind of threat of darkness that others do today, like the people of Gaza and Ukraine and the South Sudan do, there are different kinds of darkness that oppress us. Darkness that is also physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental in nature. Darkness that can take the form of domestic violence, physical, spiritual, social, and emotional. Marriage breakdown casts a shadow over the lives of couples and their children and their extended families. Stressed out parents bickering or yelling at their children bring gloom to the household. Halls aren't decked with bells of holly when families are separated or only home in their dreams. There's not a lot of fa-la-la-la-las when finances are tight and bills aren't paid. Many people have been sick of late with the unusual seasonal rise in COVID, mycoplasma pneumonia, and influenza A. We don't seem to be as healthy as what we used to be as a community before COVID. And of course, cancer, dementia, and pain do not take a holiday over Christmas. But darkness is all around us. And darkness is real, powerful, and persistent. And it's not something that will just go away if we choose to ignore it. The worst thing about the darkness is that Satan, the evil one, is behind it. And he has a myriad of ways to inflict his darkness upon us. It's in the darkness that also that we generate when we... Satan's greatest weapon for keeping us in the dark is sin. And sin permeates all of our lives. It's in the darkness that falls over us when the sins of others are inflicted upon us. It's in the darkness we generate when we sin against others. And it's in the darkness of the corruption, the violence, the brokenness, the hardships that we endure in this world. And into the darkness that the people of Israel were experiencing, a promise was given in the form of a prophecy. It would bring hope and joy and light and life. And the prophecy would be like the day of Midian's defeat. Now, the Midians had a checkered past in the history of Israel, originally being descendants of Abraham and of Moses' wife Zipporah. But they turned out to be hostile enemies of Israel. And this particular verse of our text from Isaiah is referring us back to the miracles found in Judges 6 and 7 that God worked through Gideon and his pitifully outnumbered army. The day of Midian was the day that God thoroughly crushed the Midianites through a mighty defeat that depended upon a group of men who were armed only with clay pots, torches, and trumpets. So that day, God actually saved the day and made it quite plain that this was no ordinary military victory. This was the arm of the Lord here who was mighty to save. God was going to work again now in the same extraordinary way in our text. Isaiah directs our attention to a fire. Not one of wrath, but a purifying blaze. And all of those symbols of violence and oppression and darkness would be burned away. And how can this be? A child. A child. Who would bring a child into this situation? Only God. Only God in His abundant, foolish grace. It's not just a birth, it's a gift. A child is born, a son is given. God will not meet the situation of His people from a high, lofty, wrathful position. Instead, He will send a child. Now, we know who the fulfillment of this prophecy from Isaiah is. It's Jesus. But the first hearers of this prophecy had no knowledge of Jesus. Part of understanding the power of Isaiah's words is knowing that the first people who heard them did not know about Jesus. Instead, they heard these words to be part of God's continued promise to bring forth kings out of the line of David who would bring peace and stability to God's people. For them, Isaiah's prophecy most likely referred to King Hezekiah, who ruled Judah between 718 and 686 BCE. Of him it is written in 2 Kings 18:5 and 6, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. According to the Bible, Hezekiah purified and repaired the temple. He purged of its idols and reformed the priesthood. He was a great and good king in the history of the people of God. But because we know who this prophecy was really talking about, those temporary hopes are now extravagantly trumped in Jesus of Nazareth. For the child who comes as God's ultimate gift is God's Son Himself, who comes in lowly, merciful, gentle ways. God comes in the flesh to curse Himself, to bear sin, and deliver the world from the darkness of Satan and sin. When Jesus is born at Christmas, He is the light, like a small candle shedding light in a pitch black house on a dark, stormy night. The light is only small, but it is set to blaze out and become the light of the world. And this light will be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. His story in the Gospels is not about whistling in the dark. It's about this baby growing up and putting His kingdom, the kingdom of God, into operation wherever He goes. Watch the light get turned on, as Bishop N.T. Wright says in his commentary. The Wonderful Counselor goes to work, dealing with individuals, but also confronting systems which had enslaved them and upsetting the slave masters. Watch as the Mighty God strides through Galilee, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, rescuing people, and restoring creation. Look in awe as the Everlasting Father is mirrored in the human Son, giving Himself totally to His beloved world. And if you dare, in the light of our culture where war and the way of death is the way of life for so many, watch as Jesus, from His earliest beginnings, with a price on His head through to riding the donkey into Jerusalem, shows what it looks like when the Prince of Peace is on the move. From the time he is born until the end of time, justice and righteousness will reign through this King Jesus in this dark world. Eventually, his throne would be a cross upon which he suffers and dies in the darkness of midday and in the darkness of the tomb to overcome Satan, sin, and the many expressions of darkness that bind us down and rob us of the joys of life. This is what King Jesus was born to do, to save us from the darkness of Satan, sin, death, and despair, or whatever else might wrap us up in its black shroud. The darkness must give way to the light, for the Holy Child is light. And so as time goes on and the world gets darker, his light gets brighter and brighter. Because of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So in these prophetic words from Isaiah, we are reminded again that unless God rules, the darkness will win. Using the imagery of Isaiah, the warrior's boot will tramp, the yoke will burden, and the rod will strike hard. But God has overcome all of these in the birth of this baby, born ultimately to rule. You know, there's a great Jewish prayer that says, "May the time not be distant, O God, when your name will be proclaimed throughout the earth." We say that prayer too, that the light of the world will shine brighter and brighter as the name of Jesus is proclaimed throughout all the earth, as we live and share the Jesus life in our part of this world. So, may God indeed make this Christmas for you merry and bright, for a light shines in the darkness. So Lord, we thank you for your amazing light, that you would come to us in our darkness and turn the light on so that we may see your glory, firstly as a baby in a manger, and then upon the cross, and finally when you return as Lord triumphant. Lord, you are the light of the world. Shine your lights upon us. In your name we pray. Amen.